Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio again this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones, leading our discussion from her book, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And I just want to say right out of the gate on this particular show today, what an amazing small chapter this was and how deep and rich it really, really is. How you've taken this principle of how Jesus went deep in order to go wide. I love that image, just that whole image itself of getting out of the shallow end of the pool and, treading water with people. It was just a great image for me to hold this week as I contemplated your thoughts and your messages. So he went deep in order to go wide. Talk to us about the principles of an Omega leader. What does that look like?
Well, I believe I opened the chapter with a verse from Ezekiel 47, the river image, which is probably my most favorite graphic image in Scripture. And this particular Scripture says, "And soon it was a river I could not pass through." And the scene is Ezekiel talking to God or an angel and contemplating this river, and the angel has him keep crossing it every 1,000 meters or whatever the measurement was, cubits. And first it's ankle deep, then it's knee deep, then it's waist deep, and then it is a river that he could not pass through. And I believe that Omega leaders very quickly get in over their heads if they're truly leading. I remember saying one time that I only wanted to be around people who were in over their heads, because those are the most interesting people to be around.
Wow.
There's a state of surrender to the decisions that they face. And I think in another book I remember sharing that I was with CEOs of major hospital chains and some politicians and some generals and, you know, just really high echelon leaders, and every one of them, the topic was prayer, and I asked how often they prayed, and it was just universal that, like, every 15 minutes, you know, they just had the surrender, you know, because just the knowledge that you think that, or people think you have the answers, and yet you're so dependent on God.
Right,
So for us to be in that state of being in a river we cannot pass through means that we're right where God wants us to be. We have left the shore. We are exploring in trust where God is calling us. And that's what Omega Leadership is all about.
True. And something that I gathered from this chapter and this principle is it's not easy to go deep. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes conversation and dialogue and patience and, I think at one point you indicated in here, one of your questions is, do you go deep or merely shallow? You know,
right.
So it's not an easy thing to go deep. We don't take the time.
No, and I was sitting here in preparation for the show thinking about, you know, why I said that. Why do Omega leaders go deep in order to go wide? And I was thinking about Gandhi and Nelson Mandela and Emerson, people who really plumbed the depths of their soul and their values and were so committed to what they believed that they would stand there if they were the only ones believing it. So they didn't go out to try to recruit a bunch of votes or a bunch of followers. They were in profound awe and dedication to the principles that they stood for. And that requires plumbing the depths of your own soul.
Right.
I had the privilege of staying in Ralph Waldo Emerson's room, the room that he used to visit when I was in Massachusetts on a spiritual heritage tour. They randomly put me in the writer's room that he used, and of course I was always in awe of Emerson. And one of the things that he talked about was, or they talked about in his life, that the more he walked the shoreline, the less entranced and fascinated he got with people and the bureaucracy. And he, at one point, in a church or something, he stood there and he said, "I just can't do this anymore. So much of this is artifice." And he to go out to the pond and just study the pond. And there's a quote that I've been thinking about so much, and it might have been a Rumi quote, and it says, "Arrange all of your affairs so that most of your time can be spent sitting in a meadow, being in awe."
Wow.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, and that's, that's kind of the essence that I'm talking about here in this, in this topic is going deep. I mean, you've got to drop the anchor in so many ways in order to break the surface. So finding ourselves in places of contemplation or meditation or reflection are very rare. And I think in here you talk about how Jesus, he went often off to himself to pray or to be alone. And so it wasn't just an occasional time, but, and he went often to drop that plumb line, as you talked about, deep, so that it could ripple out into a wider span, across history as it has done. So this is just a brilliant image, Lori, of and maybe it's this season of the Lenten season that we're in, where we really do probably pause more and reflect more than any other time of the year about who Christ is in our lives and in our businesses and in our homes. But I just love this image. I love it, and maybe it's an Earth thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, not too long ago, I was sitting with a fire person, a double fire, who had made some poor decisions in personnel, actually, using the flamethrower technique to get people to do things. And so I've been brought in to kind of coach and counsel her. And so knowing she was a fire, I asked her about some trips that she had taken and some theology. She knows a lot of theology. And so she was just lighting up, talking about all of this. And as long as she had the stage, she was just fine. So I let that go on for about 15 or 20 minutes. And then there was a pause and I looked at her and I said, I'm going to make up her name. And I said, "Susan, who are you really?"
Hmm.
And she turned pale. And she couldn't answer. She started, kind of flustering. And I said, just draw me a picture here. Just a sketch, kind of who you are. And she said, somebody else would have to do that. And so the feeling I got was that as long as she was on a stage, she was fine. But when you asked her to go to the bottom shelf, there was not much there. And so it made me question, some of her leadership capacity.
Right. Laura, you talk here at the end of this chapter about true Christianity stems ultimately from being in the vine, not from following an externally imposed set of rules and restrictions. And you have these two very powerful statements. We no longer need to stand at the door and knock. we now dwell in the castle. Wow. And then the second one, we no longer need to build up our bank account because we are heirs to the royal treasury. You know, those are just very, very poetic statements, but also they're deep. They are deep, deep statements that we just don't think, we don't think about it every day in that context. So ultimately we find ourselves, you know, kind of in the same surface areas, you know, day in and day out.
Yeah, using the same vocabulary and getting by with it. Yesterday I had the privilege of going to the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast in Glendora, California, with my clients, America's Christian Credit Union, who were sponsors of the event. And the speaker was a dean of students at Azusa Pacific, and I apologize, I cannot remember his name. But he was he's a theologian, Shelley, you've probably heard of him. And he said that he was doing his PhD paper on some very well-known theologian. I think it's Moltmann.
Yeah.
So he was up doing a presentation on, he'd written his paper on hope. And so he's doing it about his, you know, this guy that he's never met, that he just has read all of his works. And as he's about to present, that man himself walks into the room. And he said, oh, my goodness, he said, I just turned pale because it was, so I stutteringly gave my dissertation paper. And after it was over, you know, people clapped or whatever. And then Moltmann came up to me and he said he spoke with a German accent. And he said, young man, that was a very good presentation. And the guy was smiling. He said, however, you got it all wrong. And he's going, oh, what was wrong? And Moltmann looked at him and said, we don't have hope. Hope has us.
Wow.
And he said, optimism is an attitude. Hope is who we are.
Mm.
And I thought, you know, just a subtle distinction, but so powerful. You know, we don't have hope. Hope has us.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Wow. And that's something deep to think about for a minute. Yeah. Very deep.
Well, and sometimes, too, I think in relationships and friendships that, you know, to be able to be around people who constantly amaze you, and you don't know the levels of perception that people have. And I remember just with you the other day, we were having lunch and some big old guy, middle-aged guy, comes up the hill past the restaurant on this bike that, because you're a biker and I'm a semi-biker, we both know that we could tell this guy had not been properly fit for this bike. I mean, it was just obvious that, you know, all the proportions were wrong for him. And you just looked over him and said, well, he's riding a bike he got for Christmas. and just your, you know, your perception and how, you know, at some level, your mind imprinted what Christmas bikes look like, you know, and then you saw this guy and just made that instant connection. And it's like, I don't know, I've known you, what, 11 years, almost 12 years, and it's just, there's a constant joy in just being around you, because I never know what you're going to say or how you see the world. And I think that's true in relationships, that we should be able to be constantly surprised by the people around us and by our team, and not assume that we know.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for that, that bit of wisdom and laughter in your voice today. You know, let's close with this thought at the end of the chapter. Jesus, team built, went often and alone to pray. Jesus went deep in order to go wide. Wow. Let that be be our model and our motto, you know, as we kind of push through this Lenten season, you know, let us take time to go deep so that we do impact and go wide in our relationships, in our businesses, in our families, in those that we're influencing. So thank you, Lori Beth, for another great principle to chew on this week. We look forward to our next discussion, having you back again with us on the Omega Leader Show next week. So thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Shelley, for producing the show.
All right. Take care. We'll talk soon. Goodbye.
All righty. Bye-bye.